You know, I better get my other paraphernalia. And it wasn't necessary, but I do appreciate the accommodation that you made. And it's always good fellowship with White River. Put this one down. Okay, there we go. Yeah. For a church out here in the country, you got sophisticated equipment. I stand corrected. How many of you are going to go home and take a nap? How many are going to try to take a nap while I preach? I got one. Amen. Amen. Well, do me one favor. Stand with me if you would. Okay? Or all of you who can. And then do like this. I just wanted to be sure I shook hands with everybody before I left. Thank you. Please be seated. For those of you that were at camps, you probably were saying, well, I've seen that before. John 14, if you would, please. I don't know about you, but occasionally I need some encouragement. Occasionally I just need my wife to say something to me or just be an encouragement. You need that from time to time. Well, we have a time that our Lord encouraged many of His disciples. And you follow with me, if you would, please. It's kind of lengthy, but you just follow along with me while we read verse 17. We're going to read verse 17 down to verse 26. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and this world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Father, again we thank you for the day. Thank you for all the good things that you do for us, and we're so grateful for them. Lord, we're grateful for this sweet church, the spirit, the fellowship that they have with one another, with their pastor, with those in the community. We pray that you'll use them in a mighty way. Yet, Father, some, along with myself, might from time to time need the encouragement they're about to hear about this morning. And so I ask in Jesus' name that you'll speak to each heart that's here this evening. Now, Lord, again, we ask that you will help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, the great encourager through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to see his purpose. His purpose. Look with me to verse number 17. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you. His purpose is several different things. And these verses tell us about his plan for us and his purpose in coming into us at conversion. And so first of all is to indwell us. That means to just abide with you, to live with you. Anybody ever had somebody outside your immediate family who came to live with you? I did when I was a young boy on two different occasions. One was a cousin of mine. He had gotten in some trouble in Colorado, and so he came to live with my parents, myself, my sister. And then there was another occasion. There was a young fellow that was a friend of mine in high school that he came to live with us. And it's hard when somebody is not your immediate family. And so sometimes conflict goes on, but they live there. They abide there. They dwell there. Now listen, when we got saved, when we came into Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell with us. Now the disciples and some of the apostles here, they didn't really understand that because that had not taken place yet. That was an event that was yet to come in just a little while. But Jesus said in verse 17 that one of the reasons that he was encouraging them and for the purpose for them was to indwell them. Notice what he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, that's Christ, and will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the same Spirit of Christ, but not in bodily form. That's His Spirit. And so, at the moment of salvation, the believer literally becomes the temple of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then again in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You see, we are bought with a price, aren't we? With the precious blood of Christ. And so when we got saved, the Holy Spirit of Christ comes to indwell, to live within us. Now, sometimes a conflict will go on. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes I just don't always do everything that the Lord and the Word of God tells me to do. And there's a conflict going on. Because you see, someone else is indwelling my body. But he tells me, listen, you are no longer your own, Naismith. I've bought you. And now I am dwelling in you. One of the reasons we have a problem that goes on inside is because we still have that old Rick Naismith living inside of me. You still have that old nature living inside of you. And God wants to put that thing to death. He wants to crucify that thing. And He wants you to be the one who does it. I want you to keep your finger here and go with me, if you would please, to Galatians chapter 2. This may be a familiar passage of Scripture to you, but Galatians chapter number 2. And look with me in verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2. And I want to recommend that if you memorize Scripture, you say, oh, I can't memorize. Well, start today, okay? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you see that? That's the power of the Spirit of God. Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He wants that old man crucified. But when you are willing to say, listen, I no longer am going to live by my faith, but I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God. That's power. You remember this morning when I told you what faith was? Faith is complete confidence in Christ's ability. Now that's faith. If somebody comes to you and things aren't working out and everything is just kind of falling apart a little bit, and somebody says, well, you just have to have faith. Or maybe you've even said, I just didn't have enough faith. My faith just wasn't strong enough. That's right. It wasn't. Your faith will never be strong enough. But the faith of the Son of God that you can live by is strong enough. Because if anything happens, it's going to be because of Him, not because of me. It used to make me so irritated. I hadn't been preaching very long, but people would come, and they still do, and I understand what they mean by all that business. But, oh man, what a good message. They pat you on the back, pat you. And I'd say, listen, it's all because of Him. And then they would say, they couldn't stop at that. They would say, but God uses human instrumentality. He could use the rocks in the parking lot if He wanted to. It's not me. It's not you. It's everything. It's Him. And He wants to encourage you by seeing Him dwelling inside of you, living in you, dwelling. That's the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Go back to John 14. God the Spirit comes in and He takes up permanent residence. He dwells in the life of the believer. Now just take a minute and let that sink in. And I fear that our problem is that sometimes we become so familiar with the deep truths of the Word of God but they don't have much excitement for us anymore. They don't hold a lot of luster for us anymore. But when we look at what Jesus is saying to his disciples here in verse 17, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Whoo! That ought to make you say, man, that might have been for the disciples, but now, shall be in you? Yes, that's me. He's in me. He's in you by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We fail to see the glory of the thoughts that God lives in our hearts. The Bible also says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, "Whom the God would make known what is the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, "You are of God, little children. You've overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." I don't know about you, but I like it. Amen, brother. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Not only does He indwell us, but in John 14, look at verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." That He invests in us. He invests in us. That is, He fills us with the power to live and to serve the Lord. And without Him, we wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. However, with Him filling us, leading us, guiding us, teaching us, we have the ability in Christ, through the Spirit of God, to accomplish things that would otherwise be impossible. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, because He lives in me, He dwells in me, has a purpose for me, but He also invests in me. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." There was a writer, his name is Jamie Buckingham. He once visited a dam on the Columbia River, and he always thought that the water spilling over the top of the dam provided the power, not realizing that it was just froth that was going over the dam, the overflow. That deep inside were turbines and generators that transformed the power of tons and tons of water into electricity. Quietly, without notice, and not like the flashy froth going over the top. You see, the Spirit of God is deep within you as a child of God, and He's working. He's providing. He's showing us His fruit. But always pointing to Christ. Never speaking of Himself. Always in that quiet, working, generating mode, I guess you might say. Working inside of you. Empowering you. Investing in you. Pardon me. But he also instructs us. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. He instructs, lives in our lives to teach us that it's the Holy Spirit of God who gives us and reveals to us the deep things of God, according to 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. It's the Spirit of God who teaches how to reach our potential that God wants for us, because it's Him working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's the Holy Spirit of God who is our divine instructor to teach us all those things. Now listen, in order to preach, number one, you have to be called. But then, the calling is not enough. You have to study. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But once I stand before God's people, having studied, I've always kept in mind that it's not me. Oh, you've had to go through a lot of hard work. He's had to go through a lot of hard work. Christ is the one who is speaking through you, who is giving truth to you. It's not me. It's not Brother Hicks. Everything has to point to our Savior, to Christ, the Lord Jesus. And what He's done for us, saved us, yes, shed His blood for us, yes, but He goes much, much further than that in living in you and dwelling in you, teaching you, investing in you, and also inspiring in you. Again, we're reminded that He's an encourager. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter. Now, I like that. If you were to look at the Greek word about Comforter, it wouldn't mean anything to you. Doesn't mean a lot to me, but I know what the word Comforter means. I've had people come right along beside of me, and it was almost as if God was speaking through them to me and encouraging me. That's what the Spirit of God does. He comes right along beside of you, and He encourages you. He wants you to know you're not alone in this mess that we call life. He wants you to know that you're not alone going through all of this stuff. After Hamas attacked Israel last year, and then as Israel went to war with Hamas, everybody was thinking, oh boy, this is it, this is the end. Well, when Jesus didn't come back 2 or 3 days after Hamas attacked Israel, man, things are just falling all to pieces. And my wife reminded me, no, he's just lining things out. He's just lining things out. He's encouraging us that, listen, things have been a lot worse. And they might get a lot worse than they are now. But fear not. the Prince of Peace is still the Prince of Peace. And he wants to encourage you. There was a little girl. She came home from her neighbor's house where her little friend, same age as her, had just died. And so her dad asked her, "Why did you go over there?" And the little girl said, "To comfort her mother." The dad said, "What could you do to comfort her?" She said, "Well, I just climbed up in her lap and cried with her." And sometimes that's what God wants me to do. Just crawl up in his lap. Tell him all about what's going on. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God may be moving you, directing you, and encouraging you to be that encourager to someone else. But always know that it's Him who's doing the encouragement. It's Him that's doing the work. So God's Spirit still reminds us that we belong to Him. And He encourages us to keep on running the race, to keep on living in Christ. And He inspires us to press forward for the glory of God. And Jesus still brings that great stillness. Now, we only read down through verse 26. But I want you to look at verse 27. John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto my Father, my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, and that when it is come to pass, that ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk with you much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but in the world," verse 31, "but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence." Did you see that in verse number 27? "Peace I leave with you." I'm not going to give you the kind of peace that the world gives. Who wants that? But I'm going to give you my peace. And I'm going to leave my peace with you. And so as Jesus closes those thoughts in chapter 14, He speaks to the disciples in their troubled hearts, and He reminds them that He is still the Prince of Peace. That He still does the saving, but He also still does the encouraging. So here Jesus tells the disciples, even though their world is about to be shattered with Him dying on the cross, being crucified by cruel humanity, they can still face it with assurance that they have His peace that comforts and encourages them through that difficult time that was going to be laid just hours after He had spoken with them. But let me remind you that you have the same assurance today. Our world is in turmoil and there is uncertainty all around us. And yet, though all the saints of God are possessed with a peace that defies description from the world. And according to Jesus, this peace is heavenly in its origin. And therefore, it cannot be affected by the events on the earth. You can't look around and say, oh, what are we going? You have to look up and say, Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Our response in troubled times is to lean on the peace of Jesus and to trust Him to take care of His own. I believe that with all my heart. So I thank God today for Jesus, the great encourager. And so I'm glad when I don't understand what's going on, when I don't know what seems to be happening and everything is going crazy, when I don't know which way to turn, I can count on Jesus. He's given us all that we need. Whether we need salvation, whether we need peace of heart, the remedy is found in Him. So I want to invite you this evening to cast all of your cares upon Him, because He cares for you, loves you, indwells you, teaches you, inspires you. And so whatever you might be facing today, you don't have to face it alone. Father, again,